Father, we're so grateful. It's such an honor and privilege to know you and to have the freedom to come together to fellowship with you in the Word and in the Spirit. As we enter your Word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We ask that, Lord God, you will come and fellowship with us in this Word. As we will not go without your presence. And therefore I ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray and ask, Lord God, for mercy to be faithful, so that I will deliver this word as I should, Lord God, and speak only what you want me to say, redeeming the time, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructor of the kingdom. Let the power in your word go forth. Let it break yokes. Let it heal bodies. And let it free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all is in agreement, receiving all the blessings in their individual life, agreed and said, amen. This morning we're going to continue studying God's Word in 1 John chapter 2. We'll call it Little John. We'll call the Gospel Big John. This is Little John number 1. And in our last lesson we stopped in verses 5 and 6. I think we also touched a little bit on verse 7 and 8. And there here, John is telling us that as we keep his God's Word by the Spirit, that word causes the love of God to be perfected in us. The vital truth here is that it is the will of God, as expressed in his word, that the love of God should be perfected. The word perfected there means come to full maturity. Another translation, I first of all heard Kenneth Copeland teach on this many years ago, almost 40 years ago in Tulsa, one of the most prophetic destiny shaping meetings I've ever been to, in 1980 at the Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. And he actually taught a whole series on life, light and love, you know, based on his book that he had just written at that time, Walk in the Realm of the Miraculous. And I remember this, I heard it 40 years ago, but it's still here. You know, he says that the love of God will run its full course. The word run its full course reminds you of something like a relay. You know, if you're running in a race, in a relay race, you got the first leg, you got the second leg, you got the third leg, and then you got the fourth leg. So when the love of God gets perfected in you, it runs its full course in your life, in your conduct, in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, and in your actions. In other words, it does not get aborted somewhere down the line. It fulfills the purpose that God wants it to fulfill through you, you know, at every point in time. That is a functional definition of the perfection of the love of God. In other words, when the love of God is perfected in you, you will think, speak, and then act like God in every circumstance and situation. That is the actual definition of it. And this is what the Apostle John was saying here. He said that by keeping God's word, then truly the love of God will be perfected in you. And this is how you know you're in him. You know it because you're experiencing his wisdom, his compassion, his power working through. And you yourself can see it operating through you. You know, you're not the same person you used to be, or you don't behave the way you used to behave before. You now think like God, you now feel like God, you now speak like God, you now act like God, and you yourself, you're a witness to it. So you know that you're in Him. And this is the will of God for us as Christians. Sadly, it's not been emphasized, and in fact, some people just downright don't believe it. You know, most people believe that so long as we're here in the flesh, on this side of heaven, we can never be perfected. The love of God cannot be perfected in us because of the very bad experiences we've had of the flesh hindering us. The way we say the flesh now, we're talking about the nature, the sinful nature, the sin nature in the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body that, you know, hinder us from these realities, from thinking like God, speaking like God, feeling like God, and acting like God. So we throw up our hands in despair and say, well, you can try, but you will never get there. Based on Christian experience in the last 2,000 years. I remember as a young Christian in Imperial College, I saw this scripture and I believed it. And I asked one of the senior Christians, you know, we called them senior friends in those days, and he said, oh yeah, the Bible says that, but everybody knows you can never get that. You know, he said, you just keep trying, but so long as we're on this side of heaven, you will never have the love of God perfected in your life. Gladly, I didn't believe him. I didn't argue with him. I just knew, although I was a young Christian, but I had the Spirit of God, and there was a witness of my spirit that said, no, that can't be right. It means God was telling a lie. How can God tell us to do something we can't do? How can He say we should perfect the love of God? Where God knows Himself, we will not be able to do it. Then He says, you keep my word and perfect it. Now that would be very unfair. Praise the Lord. To be unjust is not like God's character. And then the verse 6 is a follow-up, you know, a consequence of verse 5. You know, if you abide in Him, then you will walk as He walked. Now, what does that mean practically? Again, the Lord some years ago showed me this, and He said, it means tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. That's how He walked. That's how Jesus walked. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet He did not sin. So when you, as you develop and perfect the love of God in your life, you will walk like that. You'll be tempted. You'll have the same temptations. You'll have the same shortcomings. You'll have the same temptations. You'll have the same challenges, but you will be able to overcome them like the Lord Jesus overcame them. Now, before I leave this, because it is like a recap of what I did last week, or rather in my last lesson, I want to mention this fact. I think it was on Wednesday when we were here and Pastor Dewey was talking about friendship with God. And I think it was one of the songs we were singing. I can't remember exactly, but it hit me. You know, Jesus is our hope. You see, when you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here, He did not operate as God. I did not say He wasn't God. He was God, as far as the person is concerned, but He was temporarily, during those 33 years, stripped of His divine attributes. In particular, He was not omnipotent, He was not omniscient, neither was He omnipresent. We all know that. And He operated just like you and I, as an ordinary man. And that's why Christ in us is the hope of glory. You see, Jesus, the way Jesus lived when He was here, He lived an ordinary, normal human life. And that's why you can have hope. That you can live the same normal human life, yet with the supernatural ability of the same Holy Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus when He was here. This truth is crucial for us to grasp, believe, and practice in our Christian lives. See, most Christians, we do it unconsciously. We don't, I trust that many of us do not do it deliberately. In our mind, we say, that's Jesus, and this is us. And of course, Jesus can do that because Jesus is God, you know. But, you know, we are just children of God, you know, and we can never do what Jesus did. We don't say it, but it's deep-seated inside the heart. It is a stronghold. This is what John is trying to destroy here. The Holy Spirit through John is a wrong thinking. He says, if you keep his word in you truly, and I like the word truly, it means that it's a reality. And it means that there is a false one too. There's a pretended one that is not really the one that God gives you. See, truly, the love of God is what? Perfected in you. Then he says, if you say you are in him, then you can walk like he walked. He's trying to tell us that there is nothing the Lord Jesus did that you and I cannot do. And some years ago, the Lord brought this understanding to me. I have preached and taught on it over the years, and it is this. You see, Jesus didn't have a sin nature. That's why he was born of a virgin. That's why he's called the only begotten Son of God. Now, he's the firstborn from the dead. That's later on at the resurrection, you know. But as a baby in Bethlehem, he was born natural birth. His birth was normal. The only difference was that this conception was supernatural. But it was a normal birth. It took 9 months to develop inside the womb. Hello, somebody. He didn't come out as a full-grown man. He didn't come out talking. He wasn't a funny baby, for want of a better word. Are you listening to me? He was normal. He was just normal. But with the divine nature. So the nature in him was God's nature. Now he did not have the sin nature in his soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion. He didn't have it in his flesh. That's why his mother was a virgin. If he wasn't a virgin birth, she would have been a partaker of the sin nature. And it's very important you understand that. Then over the years, as he used the word of God, and prayed and used the power of the Holy Spirit, he grew spiritually just like you and I. Hello? He wasn't flying around, you know, floating in cloud nine. He was normal, praise the Lord. However, supernatural. He was supernaturally natural or naturally supernatural, whichever way you want to look at it. Now, you and I are a little bit different, but it's equivalent. You and I have the sin nature, you know, which we inherited from our parents, and that's why we need to get born again. So when we get born again, that sin nature is eradicated, it's completely removed from the innermost being. However, remnants of it are left in the soul and in the body. Now, the good news is that God has now given us his blood. That's why Jesus shed his blood, his word, and the power of his Holy Spirit. So by using that blood to clean our hearts from the acts of sin and the nature of sin, the block that sin causes between us and God when we do sin, and using the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God, we can remove the sin nature that we inherited from our parents. Now when we do that, we now become like Jesus. See, Jesus had no sin nature, but he had no blood. Amen. There was no need for it because he didn't have a sin nature. We had a sin nature, but we have the blood. Amen. To remove the sin nature. Amen. So it makes us equal. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why I can now do what Jesus did. You know, and unless I understand this and then begin to diligently apply and practice it with that goal, with that as a goal, I really will not develop as God wants me to develop. And I allow myself to believe the lie that, oh, because, oh, well, you know, we're all sinners. You've heard this over the years. We're all sinners saved by grace. Have you heard that before? Well, it's not true. Hello, somebody. We were sinners. And now that I'm saved by grace, I'm no longer a sinner. It's not humility. It's foolishness. It's a lack of understanding. You've heard it before. We are all sinners. Only we're just saved by grace. What you're telling me is that my nature has not changed. And that grace is just going to, you know, just palliate the thing. And then finally one day God will just take me from here and take me to heaven. It's a completely wrong paradigm. Totally wrong thinking. Are you listening to me? I'm not a sinner saved by grace. When I got saved by grace, I am no longer a sinner by nature. I am now to use the nature of God to develop, so I can walk as He walked. So in me, the love of God can be perfected. See, until you understand that, you know, and Pastor G, sadly, you know, the church has been going around this. We've been roaming in this wilderness of sin for 2,000 years. That's why we've been teaching on perfection, my vision, sons of God. We're going to see, and we are seeing, a group of Christians who are going to break out.
Amen.
And demonstrate that it's not true, it's a lie. We can be like Christ in this life. We're going to see, like, you know, like it says in 1 John chapter 4 later on. You know, so this is a very important truth. And we need to understand that. But it's the mechanics of how it happens that I've just tried to explain briefly. It's by the blood, the word, and the spirit. We use the blood to remove that hindrance. Say the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. So you cannot do what you want to do. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. But it doesn't stop there. You know, many times we read the scripture and we always concentrate on the problem. The scripture describes the problem, but it also tells you the answer. Yes, there is a problem with the flesh. The word flesh there is not very accurate. It just means the sin nature inside the flesh. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit. So if you use the divine nature to, and the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to dominate and overcome and flush out the sin nature, then you will start walking like Jesus did. It's very, very, very important that this truth becomes established in our thinking, in our minds, in our understanding. You know, I, by the grace and the mercy of God, and like Paul said, I yet not I, you know, I have experienced and I am experiencing these things. And you know, the things I'm doing today, I thought were impossible 30, 40 years ago because that's what I was taught. I now know by experience, I'm not perfect, but I now know by experience that you can completely dominate your thinking. That's not to say, the Bible is actually the truth. It doesn't mean that wrong thoughts will not come. Do you understand? Jesus was tempted in every way like as we are. But you can dominate it 24/7. You know why? What is inside you is bigger than the one that is coming from outside. The wisdom that is inside me is greater than the ignorance that's coming from outside. The righteousness that is inside me is bigger than the sin that is coming from outside. The love that is inside me is greater than the fear that is coming from outside. It doesn't mean you won't be tempted. That's why the Bible is an honest book. That's why I said Jesus was tempted in every way like as we are. How many people know Jesus got angry? But he never sinned. That's why the Bible records it. It says, be angry, but sin not. So, anger, but if you let it run riot, you will sin. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. However, if you do get angry and you control it by the Spirit, you won't sin. And so this is the mentality. The understanding is what the Bible calls in one place the renewing of the mind. our thinking needs to totally change in this regard. And it only comes by this understanding, you know, what I call the rightly dividing the Word of God, spirit, soul, and body. If you don't understand spirit, soul, and body, and divide, you know, dividing your spiritual anatomy, you can never understand these things. It will all be one mixed up. It will just be one, it will be like muddied water. You know, you can't make the distinction and the difference. But you see, I understand sin, and I understand where it comes from, and I understand how it operates. So when he comes against me, I know exactly how to deal with it. That's why it's called epignosis, perfect, precise, exact knowledge. When the Bible says, you know, come to a knowledge of the Son of God, it's talking about epignosis, the perfect, precise, complete knowledge of how Jesus himself did it. Jesus understood it. Yesterday, in my personal Bible reading, I was reading, I think this is not in my notes, but I it just came to me, and I want to share it with you because it will bless you. I was reading Matthew chapter 15, and Jesus went to some place, and he didn't wash his hands. You know, that doesn't mean he was dirty. Jesus was hygienic, praise the Lord. You know, how many people know that it's not every time you have to wash your hands? You know, maybe wash it, and if between where you were coming from, there was nothing that dirtied your hands, then you don't need to wash before you eat. You should wash your hands regularly, do you understand? But to make a religion out of it, you know, where every time before I eat, I have to wash my hand, as if it is the washing of my hand that makes me holy. So Jesus went to this place, and he and his disciples, and they ate, and they didn't wash. So the Pharisees said, you guys, I'm paraphrasing. You know, you people aren't, you're unclean. You know, because you didn't wash your hands. So the Lord Jesus now had to correct them and said, you know, hey guys, it's not what I'm eating that makes me unclean. It's what comes from inside that makes you unclean. Let me, because I don't want to get off on this, you know, but I just want to capture the thought. I'm using this as an example. Jesus taught this. What defiles you isn't physical. See, what defiles me is not that I ate pork or I ate with unwashing hands. What defiles me is the nature that is inside me, which is spiritual, from which evil thoughts, surmises, adulteries, and all these things come. So if I want to change the man, I cannot change the man by changing his physical behavior and what he, his ceremonial acts. You know, not washing hands, that won't change him. I have to change the heart inside. Then when I change the heart inside, then the thoughts and everything that come out will be clean. And you know, because those people thought that if you wash your hands and you did this, that's what makes you holy. Just said, and when he got home, you know, he lived in Capernaum. They were using Peter's house as their headquarters. You know, Peter said, "Declare unto us this parable." He said, "Are you also without understanding?" I read just yesterday. You know, I read my Bible every day, incidentally. Maybe you don't know. You know. And he said, "Are you also without understanding? Don't you understand that what enters a man does not," he's talking about spiritual, "does not defile him, but is passed out through the waste?" He said, "But it is what comes out of the man." The real problem is spiritual. It's not physical. And we still haven't got it after 2,000 years. We still haven't got it after 2,000 years. We're still trying to solve a spiritual problem by doing physical things. Oh, wear this kind of shirt. You know, don't put on perfume. Put on perfume. Don't do this. Don't do that. All that doesn't change anything. What changes is what is inside your heart. And the only thing that can change your heart is the blood of Jesus that will remove the nature of sin, the Word of God that will put the nature and the wisdom of God inside, and the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable it to work out and dominate the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body. That's what really changes you. Hence the master said, except a man be born again. There's no way. The nature must change. Hallelujah. All right. And so we saw all of that. Now, let's look at verses 7 through 14 this morning as God helps me. You know, he says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. I didn't hear you. I want everybody to read after me and open your mouths by the grace and the mercy of God. Brethren, that's better. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which think. Turn to your neighbor and say, think? What is the thing? See, the thing is the commandment. Hello. Which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now let me, these two verses are very, very important and pregnant. There's something John the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us now through the Apostle John, and it is this. What it looked like a contradiction, but it is not. He said, I'm not writing any new commandment to you. It's the same old commandment which you've had from the beginning. Now, to understand this, we need to go back to Moses. Moses was given what we call the Ten Commandments. It's actually ten. And all of that can be summarized in one commandment, which is the commandment of love. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So John said, I'm not giving you a new commandment. It's the same old commandment which we've had from the beginning, that you should, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he now says in verse 9, he now changes a little bit and says, and again, I give you a new commandment. Oh, wait a minute. But you just told me it's the old commandment. And that telling me is a new commandment. Then he says, which thing, the commandment itself is now a thing. He says, it's true in him and in you. And then he tells you the reason why. He said, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. To understand all of that, you need to understand the concept of the life of God. What has happened is this. The old commandment under the Old Testament was given to spiritually dead men. They were not born again in the Old Testament. God gave them, the other day I was teaching about fulfilling all of the law and the prophets. God gave them a moral code written in those Ten Commandments. Don't, you know, not do, thou shalt have no other God before me, and, you know, don't covet, don't, you know, steal, don't kill, and so on and so forth. You know, but we know that the baseline, the essence of that Ten Commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. So God said, okay, love your neighbor as yourself. The natural man can understand that. Are you listening to me? You find that people even from other religions and what you might call good men, in quotes, again, good being qualified, you understand, you find a good man, they try and live by that. It's called the golden rule. You try and just, at least one way of knowing whether something is right or wrong is that if would I like them to do the same thing to me? So if anything I want to do, I want to make sure that if I'm doing something to somebody else, it's not different from what I would want someone to do to me. If you actually follow that as a guideline, it's going to help you in life. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter what religious tag you wear. Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, monk, whatever. Amen. If you use that as a guide, it will help you. Because it's God who gave it. So God said, is the old commandment. I give, you know, I'm not writing anything. See, but again, I say, I give you a new commandment, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. When Jesus was raised from the dead, a new commandment came. Hallelujah. Because the divine nature that was not available before is now available. So this thing is now true. It was first of all true in him. Then when you come into him and get born again, it now becomes true in also in you. It is that new commandment, this new thing, which is the Zoe, the life of God, that was wrought in him when he was raised from the dead, that gives you light. This is the true light that now shineth. It wasn't shining before. Under Moses, it wasn't shining. Because Jesus had not been born, had not come, he hadn't died, he hadn't been raised from the dead. But from the day he was raised from the dead, that light, and it's still shining up till today. This is the true light that now shineth in him and in you as a consequence of you being in him. It is with that new light you now walk in love. So the same old commandment which we had before, that you will love your neighbor as yourself, he's now given a bigger, a greater light, an upgrade. Thank you, Pastor Gwega. He now upgraded the commandment from thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself to thou shalt love thy neighbor as I love them. Because the same thing that is in me is inside you. So you can now love like I love. And what gives that ability is that divine nature that gives you light. So light is wisdom. You will now see things the way God sees them. You will now treat men the way God treats them. That is the commandment. That's what he's trying to tell us. You know, but Pastor G, observe this. All these things, this is just two verses. But you know, if you don't have all this other background, you can't understand it. You just reading, what does it mean? You are that. If you don't know about, you know, the life of God, if you don't know about light that is inside the life, you won't understand what he's talking about. You just be reading it. What's he say? You know, it's old commandment, the new commandment. We think it's true. Darkness is past. All that. That's why we need prophetic and apostolic teachers. That's why you have to come to church. You cannot. This kind of scripture you cannot understand by reading it at home by yourself. If somebody does not come and give you light and understanding of what he's really saying. Are you listening to me? And so, this commandment is true, and is the true light. It's now shining. And it's still shining up till now. Now, I got to move on. You cannot walk in love without light. It's not this light. It's not PHCN. It's not the physical light. It's the light he's talking about there is wisdom. The other day I was teaching us that the divine nature is Zoe, and derivatives from it. Just like you have crude oil, then from crude oil you can take out petroleum motor spirit. From crude oil you can take Vaseline, petroleum jelly. From crude oil, you can get kerosene, which is what they run airplanes on. Okay? From Zoe, you get light, which is the wisdom of God. From Zoe, you get compassion to make you feel like God feels. From Zoe, you get power, divine ability to do what God would do. Those are the things that you need to walk in love. You can't walk in love, divine love now, without divine wisdom. So if there is no light operating in your mind in sufficient measure, you know, or with sufficient intensity, if you like, how many people know that, you know, there is light and there is light, praise the Lord. When the light goes off in the night, okay, and you take your mobile phone and you bring it down and you ding the torch light on it. Okay, you can see, but it's not like having all the lights on in the room. You see some things, but you can't see beyond a particular, you know, radius. a region, you need the light to come on. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You know, that's why the more light you have, the better you can walk in love. You know, you can see afar off. So when people are doing things, or somebody says something, you know where they're coming from. You know, the light just... They're going to also, you understand his motive. You understand why he's saying what he's saying. You know where he's going. Then you know how to walk in love towards him to help him. Amen. Are you listening to me? Like Jesus did with the woman at the well. Amen. You understand? Immediately he started talking, he already knew where she was coming from. That she had had five husbands and all of that. So when she lied or told half the truth, Jesus knew where she was coming from. But his own intention was to help her to walk in love. So he said, okay, you've told a little bit of the truth. You know, you've had five husbands. The person you have now is not your husband. But all that doesn't matter anyway. I'm here to help you. That's a little bit translation. But That's basically what he said. He said, you know, he said, this water you want to get is not the issue. If you believe in me, then the water I give you will be a spring of everlasting life that will change you permanently. And you won't have all this problem with five husbands anymore. And that's why I came. He said, if the person who is Messiah will come and tell us, he said, I who speak to you, I'm here. That's how we should be operating. We need to be, you know, but it takes light. Yeah. It takes light in the mind for you. Okay, this person is having this issue. This one is having this issue. This one having this issue. Now, God is not speaking to you. Say, this is how you help him. This is what he needs. This is the understanding he needs here. Give him this. Give him that. You know? Then you start behaving like God. Am I talking to anybody here? Which is, so without light, you really can't walk in love. The reason why many of us don't walk in love a lot of the time is because we don't have light. Yes, sir. Let me paraphrase that and correct it. We don't have sufficient light in particular areas. That's why you cannot, I'm going to repeat this, you cannot walk in love. Or let me, those, I don't like making absolute statements because everything is really relative. The degree to which you will be able to walk in the love of God is the degree to which the word of God and the wisdom of God is inside your heart. And that's why the entrance of his word giveth light. And that's why it says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. The word of God is what gives light and understanding and wisdom on how to walk in love in different situations. Because that word contains God's wisdom. Am I talking to anybody here? All right. And so God wants us to walk in love by walking in his word and by walking in light. And so the only way I'm going to be able to do that effectively is to keep the word of God in me. I have to keep, you know, speaking God's word, reading God's word, meditating in God's word, you know, and then the life of God that is inside the word of God begins to move from my spirit into my mind. It says in one place, I think it's in Luke chapter 11, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is evil, then the whole body is full of darkness. If your eye is sound, then the whole body is full of light. It's metaphorical. It's actually a combination of both. It's actually both literal and metaphorical. You know, it's telling you if you have the life, if the switch, your mind is connected to the spirit and the life of God is flowing from the spirit into the mind, then the mind will see what's up and then it will affect the body and then it will affect the circumstances. These things don't happen haphazardly. They are principles. And that's why God wants us. That's why church is a spiritual school, not an entertainment ground. You're here to come and learn the principles of how God operates so that you can operate like God. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. We could go on and on, but it's beautiful stuff. Look at verse 10. Let's see what God helps us.
He that loveth his brother,
see it again,
abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him.
You know, but look, you see, he kind of reverse engineered that. Now, you get this. If you love your brother, you abide in the light. We can put it the other way around. If you abide in the light, you will love your brother. So if you're not loving your brother, you're not abiding in the light. And because you're not abiding in the light, you stumble. Is it clear?
Amen. Yeah, scriptures are things you need to think on. It's called meditation.
You know, I can't walk in love without light.
So if I love my brother, I'm abiding in the light. If I am not loving my brother, I'm not abiding in the light.
I'm abiding in darkness. Verse 11.
He that hateth, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. This is all spiritual. And not, the eyes he's talking about here is not these physical ones.
Hello, somebody.
And he's telling you, he says, if you hate your brother, you are walking in darkness. Incidentally, it's writing to brothers. Oh, you know, right? You see, one of the things, this first John was not written to sinners. It's written to people who are born again, spirit filled, tongue talking.
Are you listening to me?
It's not, you know, we often think of sinners, sinners who walk in darkness. No. These are brethren walking in darkness. These are brethren. Say, he that hateth his brother. He's not talking about general mankind. He's talking about Christians in the body of Christ. He says, he's in darkness and he's walking in darkness and he doesn't know where he's going.
You know, it's a sad commentary, but it's true. You know, many Christians don't know where they're going.
That's why they're walking around in the wilderness.
And they're just going around in circles. They don't know where they're going.
One of the most important things in your Christian life is to have direction.
What we just spoke about earlier on, to grow into the perfection of the fullness of Christ.
If you don't, you just be perambulating. You're just going around in darkness. You don't know where you're going. And that's not the will of God. He says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness.
Another very important truth here about all this is that these things are dynamic.
See, I can be walking in love in the morning, then I get offended at 11 o'clock, and 11:05, I'm walking in darkness. And that darkness will remain until I repent and clean my heart. So that light comes back on, and I start walking in light again. You got to understand this. They're not absolutes here. This is a dynamic. It's something that's in our daily Christian life and walk. So it's he that hate. That's why you should shun hatred, anger, wrath. It blinds you. It literally, you won't think straight. You know, your thinking becomes insular, self-centered. You know, you only see you. You don't see the big picture. You don't see the other person. You don't see God. Have you noticed that offended people can only talk about what they did to them? Hey, Makoto Shefu meaning in our language. That means you don't know what he did to me. You know, can he do me, God? What he did hurt me deeply. You know, so, and everything they think and say is all colored by all of that. They can't rise above it. Remove it. And the way to do that is to forgive. And use the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse your heart and their heart. then the true light will start shining again. Then you now start seeing things the way God sees it. You now begin to see, yes, they did that, but it's not really them. For I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It was the power of the Spirit in the air through their flesh that made them say what they said. So I'm not going to hold it against them, because Jesus didn't hold it against me. So, okay, Father, give life to them and help them. You begin to see things differently. But if you don't have that, you have to think, it's the pain and the anger and all that. And you can hold that thing for 5 years. You can hold it for 20 years. It will dwarf you. It will cripple you. And ultimately, if you don't get rid of it, it will destroy you. So you have to get rid of offense. Get rid of offense. Jesus said it this way. I don't know if I'm going to pass this place today. You know, maybe this is where I'll close with. You know, he said, in the world you will have tribulation. Then he said, it is impossible, but offenses will come. Let me let you know up front. Are you listening to me? You are going to be hurt. Only the pastors are saying amen. You know, we don't want, because negative confession, God forbid, is not my portion. In Jesus' name. They just told you a dummy and a lie. I'm telling you what Jesus said. He said, it is impossible, but offenses will come. Are you listening to me? If you are in this world, unless you want to die today and go to heaven this afternoon, but you want to stay around here, are you listening to me? You're going to meet people, situations, circumstances that are going to hurt you, hurt your feelings, you know, offend you, and all of that. That's not the issue. The issue is how you handle it. The issue is not what the people did. That will happen. Because we're living in this world, is how to handle it. That's why we need the wisdom of God. So we need the love of God. That's why we need the fruit of the Spirit. That's why we need the armor of love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So when those fiery darts come, your shield is up. And you can quench it. Then you begin to see beyond the person. I begin to see the devil that's behind it. And even when the person is even a willing accomplice. Yes, they are human agents in alliance with the devil. Oh, yes. Yes. Of their own free will. They too are in agreement with the devil. But even then, you know how to handle them. And you know how to pray for them. It says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. It says, if he's thirsty, give him water. If he's hungry, give him bread. You know, I got to close with this. You got to understand that negative emotions blind the mind. You do yourself a great disservice by holding on to hurts and bitterness. You're not hurting the person, you're hurting yourself. I must do it back to them. Oh, you will see what I cannot get away with it. Have you heard? I will show you, Pepe. I remember when we were kids growing up, you know. You get angry and you won't feel happy until you get your own back. How many people know what I'm talking about? Get rid of that. You're a Christian now. You're supposed to live above that. You understand that that's how mere men walk. And you are no longer a mere man. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am no longer a mere man. I'm a God man. So I don't walk like ordinary men. I don't think
like ordinary men. I don't feel like ordinary men. I don't speak like ordinary men. And I certainly don't act like ordinary men. Now give yourselves a clap offering. Hallelujah. You got to, you can't behave like an ordinary man. I'm only a human being. You just got it wrong. Yeah, a mere man. I'm only human. You just got it wrong. You're divine.
Amen.
I don't know if you've read it. It's in somewhere inside the Bible. It says you're a partaker of the divine nature. So why do you call yourself a human being? Now, of course, you're a human being. But you're a human being who is a partaker of the divine nature, who is supposed to behave divine and not human. May God help us to understand it. You know, it's always nice like this in church under air conditioner. Hello, somebody. But when you're in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, in the market, in the hospital, in the office, driving on the road with the damn food driver, you forget everything Pastor Lubi said. At that point in time, there is no Bible, nothing. That's why it has to become your nature. That's why you have to practice it. And practice it, and practice it, and practice it, until it becomes first nature. Pastor Ibrahim said it becomes second nature. But the real thing is that it should become your first nature. So that when those things happen, all these truths come straight to your mind. Light, life, love. The prince of the power of the air is in operation here. How many people think like that when you're offended? You see the person who did it, and then you begin to think, oh, it's not them. It's not, or should we say, it's not just them. That's more accurate. There's a prince of power here. So, the first thing that's coming out of it is, Lord, have mercy. Help them. Clean their hearts. Clean my own too, so I will not, help me, Lord, so I will not respond wrongly. Then ask life for them too, help them too. And then, you know, then you just immediately just cool down. And then God will now, the wisdom of what to say and what to do will just come to you. How to handle it. Sometimes in those situations, the best thing is the vocabulary of silence. Say nothing. Just nothing. Just say, it's okay. It's okay. Just walk away. And you give the Holy Spirit and the angels time. They begin to walk inside the situation and the circumstance. And they just change things. And you'll find the same person. It may be 30 minutes later. It may be an hour. They say, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I say, okay, forget. What would have been an explosive situation that the devil would have taken advantage? You just abort it.
Amen.
In the realm of the spirit, there's no, I got to close. It's practice. Because there'll be days where you'll be like, poor. They slap poor, but they're gone. Then they said, reviler now goes high priest. Oh God. I can imagine Paul repenting his heart. I didn't know he was high priest. But you know, he did the same thing to Jesus. He slapped him. These things I'm saying is what's going on in his mind. And he opened yet not his mouth. Then he said, why do you slap me? If I've said anything evil, be a witness of the evil. And if not for that, why slap me? Give the Lord a clap offering. This is the person we are following. It's called walking in light. The man was walking in light. The man, the life of God was giving light to his mind. He knew exactly what to say, how to behave. Don't you know I have power to crucify you? He said, you have no power except that which is given to thee from above. So then the person who delivered me to you has the greater sin. The man hadn't seen anything like that. Pilate was disturbed. He hadn't seen anything like that in his life. Then he talked to him again. He answered him a second time. Yeah. Is it time to talk? Is it time not to talk? Who will teach you? The Holy Spirit. Pastor Olubi cannot teach you. See, everything I've given you now is just the tools. You have to go and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Stand to your feet. You have to work it out. Use the blood, the word, to work it out. On a daily basis, you're working out. You work out your own salvation. You got to keep working at it, working at it. There are times you will fall. Correction, many times you will fall. But you will rise again, don't worry. A just man falls 7 times, but rise. When you find yourself slipping, just say, I'm sorry. Just like Paul, just repent. Get up again and keep walking. You're going to get better and better. I think you're going to get better and better. Hallelujah. And a day will come when you will surprise yourself. And you'll say, is this me? When you see the love of God being perfected in you, you begin to find, out of 10 times, 9 of them, I'm doing it right. I'm not... You know, me who used to do it 2 out of 10, I'm now getting 8, 9 out of 10. Then you see that there is progress. Amen. That's how you know. Say, verily, you know that you are in Him. Draw me close. No. It's not that one I want. That's not this. I have, you see, it's the same Holy Spirit. Let's just be in the presence of God for a minute. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renew me from the wreck that I found in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
word is symbolic of your mind, and literally that is the physical location of where your brain is, the natural brain, as well as your soul. In the anatomy of your human spirit, your soul is up here. That's why there's a difference between your spirit and your soul. Your spirit is the inner nature here in the innermost belly. The soul is up here and where the brain is. And then from there, it flows into the body. Now raise that hand. And we're going to pray in a minute, but I want you as an individual. See, these songs, the reason why I love some of these songs, because of the lyrics. See, I don't just sing just because of tune and hype. I minister to you. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in me. You want, ask the Lord, say, God, let this thing go beyond church. My daily life, let that light, that life flow into my mind. Let it control how I think. Let it control my feelings, my emotions. So instead of anger and wrath and fear and worry and unbelief and doubt, let these things be the things that dominate. Just talk to him. You know, God's a very easy person. Nothing complicated. Just say, Lord, I want this to be practical. Let it be a daily reality in my walking with you. So when something happens, the first thing that comes up is God. It's God. It's when I say God now, the life of God, the light of God, the word of God, the wisdom of God. The nature of God, the character of God. Those are the things that's going to come up and start to, you know, dictate to your thinking and your mind and your emotions. So when you respond, as you talk and act, you're going to now respond like God and not like a mere man. Talk to God. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you brought to me this morning, reminding me that to walk in love, I have to walk in light. The light that comes from your life and from your word, giving me your wisdom so I will think like you. So I will feel like you. And that will now enable me to talk like you. And that will now enable me to act like you. Oh God, help me. Help me to do this better and better. I thank you for how you've helped me up till now. But Lord, I will not be satisfied until I see your likeness in me. I will not be satisfied until this love is perfected in me, that in every circumstance and situation, however provocative, however serious, it will be you, your light, your wisdom, your nature, and your character that will prevail in my thinking, in my words, and in my actions. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lika tolo moshala kuto fredo fredofresh. Lipike tolo moshagar do frenes. La prenetos kufrenes. Jelikito kromotolo motolo kromotolo butu fresh. Kromotolo alambur do fredo fredofresh. Kromotolo alambur do fredo fredofresh do freshika. Lambur kromotolo mosh. Tolo kromotolo alambur do fredo fresh. Zofre. Kromotolo motolo mosh do fredo fredo fresh. Tu frenes, jiki tu frenes, nombre de ros, nombre de les, jiki tu frenes, nombre de les, zifridis, nombre de los, nagaras, nufrides, nombre dalas, gelios, nufrides, angar tus tu frenes, nombre de los mas tu frenes, nashalik tu frenes, in Jesus' name, you can put your hands down. I've said this
I'm sure recently, relatively, but I want to repeat it. One of the main reasons the major purpose is not the only, but the major purpose why God gave us tongues is this reason I've just told you. To perfect the love of God. That's why he gave us this, you know, because we were so used to it and people don't use it properly and all of that, we don't appreciate what a lethal weapon we have in the ability to pray in tongues. And that's why the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. And what I've been teaching us, at least once every hour and at every opportunity, when you do that thing properly, frequently, clean with the blood, in Jesus' name I have life, you pray in tongues, you are priming yourself. That wisdom of God, the light, be flowing. So when you're now faced with a unpleasant situation, you will start thinking like God almost instantly. It comes to practice, don't misunderstand me, you won't get it overnight. But you need to understand that, you know, and so it's not just a show-off thing. Oh, I speak in tongues. The whole purpose is praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is to keep you in the love of God. So there's something that wants to take you out of it. But when you pray in tongues, you keep yourself inside the love of God. And there was one other thing. And this really help and bless you. Say, you know, I will rise up like the eagle. All birds, the eagle is a very special bird, and God uses it as a type. The eagle does not fly with his own power. It doesn't fly. You see all these. Have you seen a chicken trying to fly? You know, chickens can fly, but they can never fly for a long distance. You understand? You see them flapping their wings and all of that. And they, you know, chicken may fly from there to there, then it will land again. You know? But for two reasons. One is it has a lot of weight. And then the wings, they're there, but it's not, it's an earthbound bird. It's a bird too, you know? There are Christians who are chicken Christians. They're earthbound. They fly, but only for a short period of time and come down. But not the eagle. This is a secret here. The eagle, he has wings and he flaps his wings, but he doesn't use most of the energy of his wings. He waits for the wind. He waits for the wind. And it goes up. When the wind begins to blow and there's a strong wind, then you find that the eagle will not come out, and then he will just open his wings. Then it is the wind, the power of the wind, that carries it. Learn to be carried by the power of the Spirit. Your wings are important. You're praying in tongues and all, you know, your confession, you know, but let it be the power of the Spirit. That's what's going to carry you. Then you won't be like the chicken who just flies for 10 meters, you know. You'll be like the eagle. The eagle can go for miles. In fact, eagles sometimes can fly at the same altitude as aeroplanes. 10,000 feet. 9,000 feet. Because it's not dependent on his own power. God will make you an eagle saint. God bless you.